Hi, and welcome to the Conservation and Human Dimensions podcast series. Today we'll be exploring visitor use management. I'm Kaylin Clements. I'm a social scientist for the Human Dimensions branch of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service at the Natural Resources Program Center in Fort Collins, Colorado. This podcast is part of our effort to put tools and resources into the hands of natural resource practitioners. And our podcasts are made in collaboration with the National Conservation Training Center, where we are today recording in the studio. Here with me is Jennifer Reed.
Hey there, happy to be here.
She knows the ins and outs of a new tool from the Interagency Visitor Use Management Council called the Visitor Use Management Framework. And she knows firsthand the importance of good visitor use management and the usefulness of this framework. Connecting people to nature fosters appreciation for healthy habitats, creating citizen stewards who support efforts to care for and sustain federal lands and waters. We're celebrating the trend that more people than ever are seeking opportunities to get outdoors and take part in authentic, memorable experiences on natural landscapes. But what happens when opportunities to engage the public, human-wildlife conflicts, or new kinds of visitor activities strain your ability to both ensure those habitats stay healthy and to provide visitors quality experiences? In this podcast, we'll explore the basic principles and strategies of visitor use management and the simple, accessible tools you can use to effectively tackle projects involving visitor use of protected areas. We'll learn from Jennifer Reed, our agency's representative on the Executive Committee of the Interagency Visitor Use Management Council. She'll tell us how you can use the Council's tools to help you connect people with our healthy landscapes while ensuring the landscapes continue to thrive now, next summer, and 50 years into the future. So, Jen, could you tell me about your role in the Fish and Wildlife Service?
Oh, sure. I'm a ranger at Arctic Refuge managing our public use program. But in this conversation, I want you to think of me as representing not only all branches of the United States Fish and Wildlife Service, but also all the managers of federal lands and waters hosting visitors across agencies.
Okay, perfect. So we'll think of you as speaking from a broader interagency perspective. And I think this brings me to my first question. The framework we're talking about is the Interagency Visitor Use Framework. Could you explain how it's relevant to multiple agencies?
Well, each of our agencies has its own mission and purposes, but the Council's vision is to provide a unified voice for excellence in visitor use management on all of our nation's federally managed lands and waters so that we can sustain resources and quality visitor experiences.
Yeah, so that makes sense why it would be applicable to all agencies across the board. So could we now break down what professional visitor use management is exactly?
So the Council wants to provide legally defensible and effective interagency implementation tools for visitor use management. And that helps people understand that there is a right way to do visitor use management. At its essence, visitor use management is proactive and adaptive, and it manages the characteristics of visitor use to achieve and maintain desired resource conditions and visitor experiences. That's a big mouthful, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, it sounds like it's definitely a definition for visitor use management, and that's important because that's what we're talking about for the next couple minutes. So speaking of the last little bit of that definition, you mentioned the term desired resource conditions. Could you explain what that means, please?
Well, at its essence, good visitor use management requires both a clear statement of what we are trying to achieve in a particular area, those are your desired conditions, and a commitment to monitoring whether we're actually achieving what we said we would, so we can adapt our management methods into the future to ensure that we're actually achieving what it is we set out for the people and for the habitats. Again, what we set out for the people and the habitats is the desired condition. Simple, right? Well, yeah, maybe. Maybe not easy, but simple. And definitely within your capacity, no matter how limited you are by staff or funding.
Okay, so funding, that's a magic word. So how can people overcome barriers like staff or funding and do monitoring and adaptive management methods?
Well, by using the Council's tools.
Okay, the Council's tools. So which ones would you recommend looking at first?
A framework and two position papers were immediately helpful to me for addressing visitor management issues in my daily work at Arctic Refuge. They're all available online. One paper introduces basic principles of visitor use, and I use this to kind of test my muster, so to speak, to ensure that I'm using the practices that are standard in the profession of visitor management. Another paper discusses visitor capacity, and it's important here to dispel the false notion that visitor use management means limiting access. Rather, visitor use management offers strategies for maximizing the types and amounts of visitor use that are available to the public while still providing quality experiences and meeting conservation goals.
Okay, great. So there's actually a lot of resources, it sounds like, to overcome things like staffing or funding and just do a great job at visitor use management. You mentioned that there's a framework. Could you expand a little bit on what that framework is?
It's very user-friendly since it's laid out in simple steps, and it can be incorporated into any existing agency planning or decision-making process. It's also compatible with Fish and Wildlife guidance for National Environmental Policy Act requirements. So this paper is very useful for understanding specifically when and how you might need to address issues by using visitor capacity as a specific tool for managing visitors.
Okay, so this framework, it's called the Visitor Use Management Framework. And for all you listeners out there, I just want to make sure you know how to find it. It's on the Interagency Visitor Use Management Council website. And the way you could find that is just going to a search engine like Google and putting in the search words Visitor Use Management Council. And it'll come up to your the homepage on that screen and on that site. And in the homepage, this framework is listed and you'll see there's different options for how to download it. And so I've actually gone and looked at it and I've read some of it and I noticed there's this thing called the sliding scale. Could you explain what that is, Jen?
Yeah, that actually was the tool that really helped me address my staffing and funding limitations with my particular planning project. So the sliding scale fits all projects. So you look at this tool and evaluate your situation and think about the questions it asks you so you understand what investment of time and resources you might need to apply to your project to make sure that your process goes through using all of the standard rationales for good visitor use management. So the process stays the same, the framework steps are the same, but the level of resources that get applied differs. And this sliding scale and decision support tool really can help you identify specifically what level of resources you're going to need for your project.
Okay, wow, thanks for that explanation. That actually really cleared that up for me, what sliding scale is. And so speaking of the steps that you mentioned, could you tell me a little bit more about those steps?
So basically, there are four elements to an effective visitor use management planning process. You're going to build the foundation, which tells you why you're even doing what you're doing. And you're going to define visitor use management direction. You know, what are we doing? What are we trying to manage for? What are our desired conditions? You're going to then identify management strategies for how you're going to effectively manage visitors into the future. And then ultimately, you're going to implement your plan. You're going to monitor, evaluate, and adjust so that you're doing good visitor use management. So those are the four elements of the framework. And then within each of those four elements, there are three or four digestible, doable steps that get you from wondering how on earth you're going to tackle this situation to having a tangible way to move forward with the staff and resources that are available to you.
Okay, so besides the sliding scale and the 14 steps, is there anything in that framework that you would recommend people to look at?
Yes, I would definitely suggest one more thing, and that's the glossary of key terms, because the glossary actually helps create a common language for all of us who do visitor use management effectively, so that we can communicate across agencies using the same language, describing the same professional practices.
Okay, so from your personal experience, do you have any words of advice for people looking to implement visitor use management practices?
Yes, effective visitor use management can be simple when you're looking ahead, but it's harder to achieve when you're responding to a problem. If you foresee an issue developing in the future, or you realize the quality of the opportunities visitors are currently experiencing could be increased, you have a visitor use management project to tackle. Tackle it now. Quickly glance over the 14-step framework, consider human presence in your area, and use the sliding scale of analysis and the decision support tools. They're each less than one page. Evaluate the visitor experiences you're curating. I can guarantee your project will benefit from it. By demonstrating your rationale using the framework, you'll ensure a proactive, a professional, a comprehensive approach to visitor use management, and you'll achieve the conservation and visitor services goals you set out to meet.
Okay, well, I'm inspired by all that. Are there any other words of wisdom you can share with us?
Yes, tools and strategies provided by the Council make managing visitors manageable. Take action to be a champion for connecting people with their federal lands and waters while conserving the landscapes that they love. Please go to the Interagency Council's website hosted at visitorusemanagement.nps.gov.
Thank you so much for being here, Jen, and sharing your insights with us. If listeners have any questions for you, would it be okay for them to contact you?
Yes, definitely. That would be great. I can be reached at jennifer_reed@fws.gov.
By this? Great, thanks. I'd also like to say that if your interest is piqued by this podcast, we have more coming soon and a host of others that we've already made. You can find all of these on the NCTC podcast page, which you can find by Googling NCTC podcasts. You can also be notified of new podcasts by subscribing on iTunes, by searching for Human Dimensions and Conservation in the podcast iTunes store. And when you scroll down, the podcast episodes will be available. And if you have ideas for future podcast topics, please email the Human Dimensions branch at human_dimensions@fws.gov. Until next time, thanks for tuning in.